You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. This Thursday night, Fresno art lovers will be out on the town enjoying the city's monthly Art Hop event. But this month, the first Thursday also has an added component at Arte Americas, an event organizers are calling Book Hop. It's a chance to meet local authors and purchase some of their newest works. Last week, we heard from David Moss Masamoto and his daughter Nikiko, who have their own new books and will be at the event. Today, we hear from two more authors, Doug Hansen, who will join us in a little bit on our show, and right now, Armin Bacon. Her new book is titled My Name is Armin, Outside the Lines, Volume 2, a collection of essays, some of which have appeared in the Fresno Bee. Armin Bacon, welcome.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Good morning.
Outside the lines. What do you mean by that?
I knew you were going to ask that. Well, you know, years ago, I met a woman who was approaching 90, and she was a very inspiring lady who lived on the edge, was very creative, and she dared me to live my life. And in my writing, when I first started writing, I think I tried to play it safe. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I wanted to write happy stories that could be tied up at the end with a lovely bow, and they all lived happily ever after. And in volume two of My Name is Armin, I've tried to color outside the lines and paint a portrait of our valley and the community a little more honestly. And I love the valley. And it's so rich in its people and its stories. And I'm a storyteller. And so I've tried to take a few more risks with my writing in this volume. And I hope readers will enjoy it.
You've divided the essays in this book up into four sections. Is there any thematic nature behind that?
Well, I tried to do it so that a story of its own unfolds about life and about my life, and it really in each section there's a painting of the people that I'm interacting with, my family, my friends, situations of life, and basically the overall theme is about the human condition and how beautiful and yet how fragile life is. So I think readers get a taste of all those things in each section.
Speaking of the fragility of life, you write about some current events and things that happened in our community, some stories that are very powerful that many of our listeners may remember, the story of Melissa Carrollton, the woman in Fresno who gave birth to a child, a healthy child, even though she had undergone surgery for a brain tumor. She is still alive, but
yes,
is under care now. That story, also the story of the death of Janessa Ramirez, the 9-year-old who was shot and killed in gang violence in Fresno in 2015. How difficult is it to take a story out of the headlines and find something new, something in a powerful way to say about it that's not just dwelling on the negative?
You know, that's a very special question. I think, as a woman, as a mom who's lost a child, I've tried to allow myself to be vulnerable. And in both of those situations, with both of those stories, they were absolute chance meetings. They weren't scheduled interviews. I wasn't going out determined to write a story about either one of those families. But we met, you know, Luana and John Carlton, I met in a restaurant. And we just happened to make eye contact. We met in the parking lot. And one comment led to another, another. And the same with Janessa's story. I was doing an interview, and her father happened to be in the studio. And the energy was electric. It was different. We all felt the sorrow and the pain. And my goal as a writer is to articulate, to put those emotions into words. And I know a lot of my readers tell me, thank you for putting words to something I was feeling, but I didn't know how to describe. And so, and again, that's how I'm trying to push the envelope with my own writing and share the innermost feelings of the human condition.
Fresno author Armin Bacon joins us today. You mentioned the community reaction to some of the stories that you write in the Bee. Do they ever surprise you? Do you ever think that, oh, I'm going to write this essay, it's going to be in the paper, and I, this is what people are going to say, and then they say something different?
Well, let me just tell you, people think it's an easy job to write a story and then press the send button and send it off to whether it's the Fresno Bee or a magazine or wherever I'm being published. It's terrifying for me because I'm talking about not only my story, but about other people's lives and our community. And, you know, as an author, you have to take that risk. It feels like jumping off of a high dive because you don't know. Sometimes people will applaud you and say, oh my God, that's exactly how I was feeling. Thank you. And other times they may throw tomatoes at you. And I've had both reactions. Overall, I have an incredible readership and fans and friends and family who thank me for writing the stories I write because they really talk about the beauty and gloriousness of this Central Valley that we all live in. And so overall, the reactions are very positive. But sometimes I'm really surprised. And sometimes what's even most surprising for me is how I will discover a story. One of my favorite ones in this volume, too, is a man that I've been working out with in a private little gym for a long, long time. And one day we were just pausing and sitting together on a workout bench, and he said, can I tell you a story? And he ended up telling me a story about when he graduated from college. He was out on his first job, and he was having dinner by himself, and a woman across the restaurant invited him to join him to join her, and it turned out to be Marilyn Monroe, and my jaw just dropped, you know, listening to his story, and I ended up writing that, and it's a lot of people's favorite story in the book.
You mentioned that you write these stories not just about the events of the day, but how your own interactions with people and your day to day life. Starting out, did you find it easier to write about your own experiences or easier to write about other people and tell their story?
Well, you know, my first book was Griefland, and it was my own story. And it was probably the hardest thing I ever did, trying to put words to my sorrow and my grief and talk about navigating sorrow and loss. And so it's probably a little bit easier talking about other people's stuff. When I write about my own feelings and emotions, that's ripping my heart wide open and sharing it like it is and being totally, completely honest. But what I've found is that at the end of the day, we are all so much more alike than we are different. And that's really a very important part of why I write. That plus I want to make sure to pass down my stories to my children and my grandchildren. I think we're all living in this speed dial age, in this digital age where everybody is running at such a fast pace that we don't stop and reflect and share the way maybe our grandparents or parents did. And so I'm kind of determined to do that through my writing and through my storytelling.
It's been 12 years since you lost your son, and you told that story very eloquently in that book you just mentioned. Do people still come up to you and tell you how that book and the way you told that story affected them?
Yes. No matter where I speak or whatever crowd I may find myself in, there's always at least one person in the room who will connect with me at the end of the day to say, me too. I'm experiencing loss also. And in fact, you know, during this holiday season, it's really a hard time for a lot of families who are struggling with children who they've lost or kids going through struggles. And so I think it's very important for us to share our stories. And again, so that we don't leave others feeling like they're alien and they're the only ones experiencing that. And but Griefland was one of those stories that so many families, more than we can ever imagine, are also experiencing.
You mentioned the holidays. This is a difficult time for many who have lost loved ones. How has, you know, now 12 years on, how has your experience changed?
You know, I think I'm doing pretty well. And yet, in reality, I think you learn to carry the grief and to, of course, writing is a huge help for me. I write about it when I'm feeling it, and that helps a lot. But you learn basically how to walk through life with that gigantic crack running down your middle. And it doesn't mean that you don't love and experience joy and have a great day or a wonderful month, but it's always there. It's like a little monster that's sitting on your shoulder that walks around with you. And, you know, when I talk to families, you know, it's not something you get over. It's something that you integrate into your person. And any way you get through grief is heroic. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And I think my book and also my storytelling is to remind people to be compassionate and to be gentle with each other, because you never know what's going on behind that velvet curtain of somebody else's life. I chose to write about it, to live out loud, to share my story, to say it like it is. But for a lot of people, it's very private, very personal. It's not something that they want to speak and share. And so I hope that my book has helped others. And in both Volume 1 and Volume 2 of My Name is Armin, I have several chapters that address that issue, because I don't want people to think it goes away magically. It's always here.
Another theme in this new book and in your other works as well is your Armenian heritage.
Yes.
You write about Fresno's Armenian heritage.
Yes.
Tell me about that and what you talk about in this particular collection.
Well, you know, I grew up in Little Armenia in southeast Fresno, and I think that's that sense of rootedness and that sense of family. And, you know, I can go almost anywhere in Fresno, and there are no strangers. I'm surrounded by aunties and uncles and extended family. And, you know, I think that's probably why I have been so resilient and why I've been able to survive the worst day of my life. I love my culture and heritage, and I love living in the valley. And I think the contributions of Armenian people, and certainly writer William Saroyan, he was my original inspiration for becoming a writer. He was somebody when I was growing up that I saw at the downtown library every Saturday when my mom dropped me off. And later in life, I read his works, and he spoke to the human spirit. And I think I try to emulate a lot of the themes that he wrote about the importance of family, about life's journey, about navigating life with passion and purpose.
Walk me through your creative process. You talked briefly about this, how, and sometimes it's an encounter with somebody at the gym or something like that, that may prompt a column. Do you keep a notepad and say, oh, I want to maybe use this as an idea or a kernel for something that might eventually become an essay? And then do you go off of those, and are some rejected? What's Armin Bacon's creative process like?
Well, I have paper and pencil and pen and tablet everywhere, in every room of my house, in my car, in the trunk of my car, in my purse. Wherever I am, you will find paper and pen. But I love writing early, early in the morning or very, very late at night when all those internal critics and censors are sleeping, because it's during those times when I can write freely and without interruptions and without telling myself this is a horrible sentence. And so I have running ideas, and I may be driving on my way here to be interviewed, and a sentence will come into my mind, and I jot it down and take it home with me and then play with it for a few hours later on in the day. But I love the creative process, but it's also a discipline. I had a writing professor once tell me, the harder you work, the luckier you'll get in terms of being published. And it's so true. I mean, I devote 3 to 4 hours every day to writing. And some days I throw it all away, and other days in the first paragraph I find something that turns into a great story. So but you got to stay at it. And I'm always asked by young people or emerging writers, you know, what should I do? And I said, you have to write every day. I mean, that's the most important part. And some days you'll come up with gold, and other days an idea will have to lay dormant for a while before it materializes into magic.
What do you hope people will take away after reading your book?
Well, I hope that they realize what a special place Fresno and the San Joaquin Valley is. This is home for many of us. And for all the negative things that get written about Fresno and the Central Valley, it's really an incredible, amazing place. And it's the people that make it so special. I also hope that people will take away the notion that we're all in this together. We, you know, no one is exempt from the ups and downs of life. It's the human condition, and it's beautiful, it's messy, it's glorious, it's sad, and it's joyous. It's all those things. But to be truly human, I think you have to experience life with all of those emotions. And I'm very grateful for our community. This book, as you probably know, was published by the press at California State University, Fresno. And Mary and Joe Castro wrote the foreword. And I'm so proud of that because Fresno State, in fact, I dedicated this book to Fresno State, my paradise on the northeast corner of Cedar and Shaw, because it is Fresno State that continued to welcome me back every time I decided I wanted to be someone different and grow and stretch and dare to live my life a little differently. And at the age of 57, I went back to school to become a writer, and I'm still going back to that campus, and they continue to welcome me with open arms. So I'm very grateful to this community, to the Castros, to Fresno State, and this is home.
The book is called My Name is Armin, Outside the Lines, Volume 2, a collection of essays. You can find Armin and the book Thursday night at Arte Americas in the event organizers are calling Book Hop. It's part of Art Hop and an opportunity to meet Armin and a number of other local authors and find that book. Armin, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.